Yes, it's the season finale of Star Trek Discovery, an episode that had everything, and there's barely enough time to talk about it. But fortunately, Star Trek Discovery starts, actually, Star Trek Weekly about Star Trek Discovery starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That was one of those times where a conversation we had right before the show got into my head and turned me off. Yes, please take my hand. Will you take my hand? Question mark. Star Trek Weekly. Here we are talking about Star Trek Discovery Episode 15, Season 1 Finale. We'll probably have to wait more than 12 months to see Season 2. No announcement to that effect, but that's all right. We don't have to look too far to the future. We're just going to look back to this episode. I'm Christian Blatt. You can find me at ChristianDMZ. Joined, as always, Frank Moran. Where can people find you?
If you feel you have to or you lose a bet, you can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Happy Go Jackie.
And the search for the greatest slice of pie in Los Angeles continues.
Never stopping.
Even if you think you find it, you got to keep going.
Yes,
it could always be better. And Carrie Lane is on assignment. And by that, I mean on a cruise ship.
Yes, that's true.
Had some fun in New Orleans, and now she's on a cruise. She'll be back in a couple of weeks. But sitting in, again, our pal Cherry Davis. Cherry, where can people find you?
You can find me as Cherry_LA on Twitter and Instagram.
Consistency. That's what we like to see. Instagram, Twitter. And Cherry, I was very glad that early this evening I saw that you were going to be live tweeting the episode. So that later when I saw I had 30 at mentions on Twitter, I'm like, I can't look at those because that's Cherry live tweeting the episode. I watched it shortly thereafter, but I probably didn't watch it until about 8 o'clock. So it's a good thing that I didn't. Oh, you didn't really give anything away.
But
I would have been like, what? But so it was fun. There were some good gifts. Was that fun to do, the live tweet? Were you like using a hashtag where you could read a lot of other people, or were you just doing your own thing?
I'm self-centered, so I was just doing myself. But I was the right on answer. The Star Trek Twitter feed, so I was responding to them and then using their images.
Oh, cool.
It was a lot of fun. Twitter was going a little bit crazy with the season finale.
Mm.
A little.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said in the intro, the episode had everything. I mean, there's a sex club, Tilly's getting high, there's gambling, Clint Howard,
yep,
who, by the way, you don't know this, Rink, is a friend.
Serious?
Yes.
Wow, he lives
very close to me, and actually, I think close to where you live, too.
And you're only bringing this up now.
Well, now I have an excuse. And the funny thing about Clint is that, you know, he doesn't feel like he needs to talk about Tranya all the time, and you know what I mean, like he doesn't usually want to talk about when he was a kid, but now that he's done this, I think maybe, just maybe, I actually have an excuse to invite him on the show now.
Did you know he was going
to
be on?
I had no idea. I hadn't talked to him in a little while. He and Ron Howard's father passed away recently, so I hadn't talked to him in a little while, but I was very excited to see him.
Man,
because you knew. There's no doubt. Anyone who's ever seen any Ron Howard movie knows Clint Howard when I see him. So there was a lot to be excited about. For me personally, that's probably what I was most excited about.
Oh, nice.
That Clint got in here. But overall, let's just sort of talk about overall what we thought. I'll start with you, Cherry. Ladies first. That's how we roll here.
But am I a lady? Overall, I enjoyed the finale. It really sort of fit in with what was going on over the past season, which is they're a little disjointed with different stories that kind of finally came together at the very end. But you know what? I can't lie. I was just happy that my Empress came back. So, you know, Team Georgia.
Yeah. I was glad to see her. And she had seemed to really make herself at home on Kronos, you know, just in the sex dungeon or whatever that was, and Tilly's like, oh no, I'm not interested. Not for you. So there was like some fun moments there. What I do like is that they didn't even come close to having to kill her off. So it's like, okay, see you later, you know. And it's great. because Frank, as we discussed last week, I'd like the door open that we could see her again. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree.
Yeah. So we do get to see her. You know, we'll see her again.
Of course.
Maybe very soon. Maybe not. But and I thought she had some great scenes in the episode, and we'll kind of go through that. But yeah, I thought that there were a lot of like fun little things, but it was more like, okay, this train's pulling into the station. We got to tie up as much as we can. Overall thoughts, though, Frank?
I am of two minds. I am one kind of disappointed and...
Disappointed in the surprise cliffhanger finale that we'll talk about later? Annoyed?
Like, yeah, annoyed. I mean, like we've talked about, like the, you know, these characters seem to kind of wrap up. This seems like right now kind of a directionless series.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what season two will bring for
sure.
us. But, you know, I still don't... I can understand why Enterprise exists, because that's like we're seeing pre-Federation days. So that's kind of at least a hook for a show to kind of set up like how we became the Federation.
Right.
And then you've got all the various different series. You know, it was stranded in the Delta Quadrant. You've got actually a space station where you're not traveling the galaxy is coming to you. And you've got Next Generation. The first one is kind of continuing the original series premise and kind of seeing what the Federation is like, you know, 100 or so odd years after that.
Right.
But this, not coming to this end of the season, I'm like, well, why this show now? Why this time period? So there are some nice sentimental moments and some nice moments about why the Federation exists that are nice. But also I feel like, well, do I need to see another season of these characters?
I don't know if I need to, but I will be there. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it. Yeah, but you definitely felt like, I don't know, there isn't any of the main characters where you're like, oh, there's so much more that we need to know about them. You know what I mean? I like, it'll be interesting to see more. But I was like, oh, Burnham's story actually wrapped up very nicely.
Yes.
You know, she was, court-martialed and sent off to prison essentially for starting the Klingon War. And then she basically puts an end to it. So then she, you know, gets her rank back, I find that I'm like, all right, that's a step too far. Like, if that's going to happen eventually, did you need to do it so quickly? I mean, it had been a year,
yeah.
You know? Don't you need to be punished for these things? But I guess she single-handedly avoided Starfleet becoming something that it shouldn't be. So, and Sarek did say that he, he pulled some strings so he could give it to her himself. But, yeah, that was one of those where I'm like, okay, well, good for her, fictional character, but really? What did you think, Cherry?
I found it's the same issue I had with the entire season, which it feels to me like the writers were like, I don't know how to fix this, so we'll just end it. They did it over and over again with her, with them explaining, with them saying that Lorca was dead in the other universe. No real explanation. Oh, yeah, he was dead. And they would just do these little random, like, I don't know how to figure it out. I'm just going to say they're dead or they're in another universe, whatever. It's kind of, I don't want to say lazy, but it felt like since they're not Star Trek people, they don't really know how in the previous series they would have stretched things out. I think maybe they're used to more compact shows and more compact characters. And so they just cut it off at the knees, and they're like, I'm done. Moving on to that run.
Yeah, no, I know. It's, I don't know. I know. It's just, I think that there's a lot of things to be happy about, excited about going forward. But, I guess I'm with Frank. Well, the one mind of Frank, where it's like, you know, I'm interested in seeing it, but I don't know that I needed it. But, They clearly weren't going to do the anthology series that Brian Fuller wanted, so
they're
sticking with this. And I mean, I'd like to see more of Saru out of anybody. Mm-hmm. He's the one who I'm kind of most interested in learning more about. Everybody else I'm pretty much good, but
yeah. But like when you set up something where, and I know we're going to get more into the details of the episode, but on Kronos, so there is this bomb that could devastate that planet.
Yeah.
Something that'd be cool if it was an anthology series to come back, jump ahead in time. So 400 years from now, that is still like something that's become like something that's maybe lost through the ages of time, but that still exists as a story point. They kind of go back to could be something that could be a focus point for another new season set in the future at some point. But now I just feel like, it's not really going to be anything that we really don't have to care about now. It's going to unite this culture, and we're going to get the clans that we know and love.
Andrew Gibbons in the chat. Does anybody actually believe Prime Lurk is dead? I believe we'll see him again. I also believe we will see him again.
Yeah.
I will be stunned if we don't see him again, actually.
It'd be a shame to not.
And Renji 9998. Giorgio was pretty damn sexy in that black corset. That was a different look. Let's say that. You know, but
yeah. I mean, I think our first signs of butt and urination in a Star Trek.
Which was some interesting urination because yes. there were multiple outlets,
yes.
I guess is the best way to put that. And yeah, there, you know, I was actually thinking that when they went into a place, I'm like, oh, there's some racy stuff happening on stage. I wonder what we're going to see because, you know, we've had the F word and we've had assholes. We've had some swearing on the shows. And I'm like, all right, this is pretty racy. So I guess that's what they do. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on the chat. But actually, Clark Stark, I'll read that before we dive into the episode. I didn't want Discovery to be a predictable four-act show with no peril or real danger to the ship and crew like the previous series, parentheses S plural. I think that there are certainly episodes like that that you could feel, but I don't think show in, show out, every episode was like that. You know, I think that there was very real peril and very real danger, but at the end of the day, it's true. This is the show that actually kills off people. You know,
not just red shirts.
But explain that to Tasha Yar, because you know sometimes people do die.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. So the episode starts. We have Captain Giorgio on the bridge, who's just sort of very brusquely ordering people around. Not doing a very good job with the premise that she's the Giorgio yes. of our universe. I found it weird that Burnham was like trying to call her out, and maybe the only explanation I could give was that she wanted to make sure that she'd done her homework and she had her cover story in place, but also like she's trying to embarrass her in front of the crew. So I'm like, that doesn't seem like a smart move. Not that Burnham always does a smart thing. What did you think about that, Cherry?
I think it was more like she was reminding her that we know who you are, and if you remember, I kind of got my old captain killed, and if it comes right down to it,
yeah,
I'll do what I got to do.
Yeah, and there was the, I mean, it was interesting, but there was the uncomfortable exchange between Giorgio and Saru about scared Kelpian make for tough Kelpian, which was funny, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, man, it wouldn't take much for her to eat you.
No, don't.
You know? So you better watch it.
Yeah.
One thing that I did like is that Giorgio, or Emperor Giorgio, gives Burnham the advice that she should have actually killed her Prime Universe counterpart, because then she wouldn't have been stopped. She would have been able to, you know, defeat the Klingons in the way she originally planned. And I'm like, well, this is actually pretty good advice, but it's easy for her to say, yeah, you should kill not me. You should have killed the other me. I don't know. What did you sort of think about some of the interaction in this episode with Burnham and Emperor Giorgio, Frank?
Yeah, the initial stuff that you were mentioning on the bridge seemed weird to why she would, knowing at least what the Starfleet the cover story plan was, that she would start, even though Giorgio being Giorgio, like that she was going to start being kind of outwardly antagonistic towards the captain. And I couldn't understand the reason for that. Why, if she has an issue, like, why not? Can I talk to you a moment in your quarters or something, or your ready room? But let's do that. And then I guess we need to have the conversation between the two of them about what she should have done with the Prime version of Giorgio to kind of better set up the progress that Burnham has made from where she was at the beginning of the season to now in terms of her viewpoint.
Yeah, I think that there's a very, very different viewpoint. One of the next scenes that we see Giorgio in was a nice little scene with Laurel in her cell where she's just goes in there to, you know, basically beat the crap out of her. And Burnham's like, all right, you know, enough. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like, but honestly, how are you going to get through to a Klingon? You know,
yeah,
that seems to be all that they can really understand is, you know, that sort of, you know, it's disrespectful to not be violent towards them, I suppose. What did you think about that? Getting to see Giorgio kick so much Klingon ass in one cell, Cherry?
that was kind of crazy. But can I say one thing about being on the bridge? I really wish they'd shown the expression of the other people when she was saying all that, because they knew the old captain, and the thing she was saying, the way she was behaving, wasn't kosher. But as far as her attacking and fighting, that was just, for me, it was another way for them to sort of differentiate between the emperor and her captain, because Michael still kept falling back into almost like this mother thing where, if I love you, mommy, you'll start being nice.
Yeah. That's very true, actually. Yeah, there's quite a bit of mommying in this episode, as we'll see later. I think it's sort of very convenient that they never really explained the process of Tyler and Vok, because it made it very plausible. It's like, oh, no, but I still remember everything. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, oh, I can tell you everything. I was like, all right, I guess that's probably why they kept it vague, because you would think that if he'd sort of reverted to being Tyler, that he was going to be Tyler. No, he's both.
Yeah.
So, but I thought that was useful. I really liked when Georgiou's putting the away team together, the people that she wants, and of course she wants Captain Killy. She wants Tilly, who does not realize who she is right away. But and Frank, maybe you'll agree, I liked that sort of her reminiscing, like, oh, it's so good to see you. And among the things she listed was subjugating Betazoids.
Yes.
So I was just like, oh, that takes me back. Yeah. So, which I feel like wouldn't be easy to do, you know, although I guess they're not, they're empaths. They don't really, they can't do any mind control. So they're just like, oh, no, this person's angry and it's going to kill me.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like, I can't stop it. So I guess, you know, it wouldn't be that hard. They just know that you're about to do it. And then one of the things I love about Tilly is there's always comedy. And Georgiou, like, grabs her hair extensions or whatever. These are hideous. And Tilly's like, oh, of course they are. I know. She's like, what's happening here? You know? So what I like about Tilly is that she's kind of been very consistent throughout the run of the series. I mean, except for when she's pretending to be Captain Killy. But what did you think about that, Cherry?
I kind of like Tilly a lot more than when she first came on the scene. She was kind of an annoying dwit, and I was like, sure, go away. But I think her seeing what the person she was on the mirror universe, that she was a take charge, well, evil captain, but, you know, take charge, kick ass, B word. I think that really gave her a lot more confidence until, of course, she ran into Captain Georgiou, and she straightened her hair because she didn't like her hair that way. And I was like, you get really passive really easy.
Yeah.
Tilly. But hopefully when she's in the captain training, she'll become more self-confident and not be the captain from the mirror universe, because that person was bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, be more confident.
Wouldn't really fit in Starfleet, I don't think. Yeah. And then she also, just a few scenes later, eats some space whale. So again, you know, if you're on Kronos and, you know, you buy random food, just expect it to be, you know, it could be one of your friends. So, you know, there, and then of course she gets high with Clint Howard. So if there's anybody in the episode you want to get high with, it's Clint Howard. And so I thought that Tilly had a lot of fun stuff to do in the episode, which is good, because that's kind of, I don't know, I don't want her to change too much, you know. I like Tilly the way Tilly, don't go changing. I love you just the way you are. Frank, what do you think about Tilly in this episode?
Yeah, Tilly's been entertaining, especially in this season. So considering how annoying I found her in the first couple episodes.
I mean, I expected her to be dead within two episodes, and I'm glad I was wrong.
So yeah, entertaining. I mean, and then it just ties back into my previous thoughts at the beginning. It's like, that's great. I like where she's at this season. You know, if I never saw her again, I'm not going to be like, man, I wish I knew what was happening with Tilly.
I would miss her. I'd want to know. I'd be like, I'd text her. I'd be like, girl, you up? And then she'd be like, on her communicator, she'd be like, who dis?
Yeah.
So, you know,
you're
all right.
Married, sir.
I'm just talking to her. I just want to know how she's doing. I just want to make sure she hasn't killed anybody or eaten any space whales.
Tilly's sweet. And I liked how when Tyler Vogt came back, she immediately went over to his table to have lunch with him.
Yes. Oh, that's right. You weren't here. That's right. That wasn't the episode you're here for. Yeah, that was. And she was the first one. She's that girl. She's the girl in, like, the public service announcement, like the different kid at school.
That's right.
And she's like, I'm going to go sit with them, you know, and like, you know, it's just one to grow on. Thanks, Tilly. Yeah. And Tyler gambling was kind of an interesting thing to see. It was sort of a very loosely explained Klingon gambling.
We could never understand these Klingon rules.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it's funny because they go to this planet where there's a sex show and there's gambling. And it was nowhere near as annoying as in Star Wars The Last Jedi when they went to a casino world and I wanted to stab my damn eyes out.
Didn't free any animals?
Yeah, they didn't have to free any animals. Yeah, so score one for Star Trek. but I'm just trying to start some chatting. Willington. Renji says, I like Tilly in the beginning and more now. All right, so you were in from the beginning. Be careful, Wellington Smith says. Clint Howard will roofie you and steal your bomb. Well, he didn't successfully steal her bomb. He just wanted to. He also didn't care what it was. So, anyway. All right. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see some of that. But the reason I mentioned the Tyler gambling is because it gives us a reason that we get a little bit more insight in Burnham's backstory. So, you know, we'd mostly focused on her time on Vulcan and, you know, with Georgiou, at least in this universe. That's what we'd focused on. So I thought it was interesting to, you know, we hear the story and then it's like, there's sort of this great moment with Tyler where it's like, she should hate him, but she doesn't, you know, and then also she doesn't hate all the Klingons. She's just sort of watching them like go through life, you know? So I thought that was like, you know, in an episode that had a lot of silly stuff, a lot of like, whoa, check this out. It was nice to have a little bit of the heart and character development. What did you think about, just that moment between Burnham and Tyler Vok?
I really like their chemistry. Also, he's smoking hot, so I'm totally cool with him. Her watching him play the game, I could see how she felt. It was so violent, and it totally brought up memories from when he attacked her. But she's never had issues with other creatures because she was raised by the Vulcans, and so they're kind of analytical. But when her memories popped up about how her parents were killed, she had to listen to them being murdered and being in the room. You can tell she just pushes everything down.
Yeah.
And it's kind of bubbling up. And eventually, I think next season, she's going to have like a major...
No, that always works to push your emotions down as deep as you can, especially if they're really bad, really traumatic.
There you go. Yes.
Nothing bad ever comes of that.
No, so you keep pushing
just
it down.
Stuff it down.
And you smile until you stop crying.
Yeah. shortly thereafter, Burnham realizes what the actual mission is. And pretty quickly figures out, like, you know what? I bet that this isn't Emperor Georgiou off on her own agenda. Pretty sure this is Starfleet was like, yeah, go ahead and do this. So I thought there was a very powerful exchange with Admiral Cornwall about, you know, this isn't who Starfleet is. And, you know, look, I mean, you can see both sides because it's like, look, we're about to be extinct. You know, we kind of have to change who we are. And again, Burnham's like, no, see, I'm smarter than everyone, so you don't have to change who you are, and here's how you're going to do it. But before you get to that, there is a great line, which was actually in the previews for this episode, but I thought it was still a great moment anyway. The Admiral says, we do not have the luxury of principles, and Burnham points out, that is all we have. So I think that's the fundamental point of, like, if you don't have the principles, you're not Starfleet, so you shouldn't even bother, you know, trying to be Starfleet. Frank, your thoughts on sort of that sort of – that's like a defining moment. That's like a character-defining moment, but that's like a Starfleet-defining moment right there, I would say.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's easy to, you know, kind of promote the ideals of the Federation in the good times when backed up against a corner like this to such an extreme as they are. It can be challenging to maintain those ideals. And you can see the Federation slipping, wavering in the sense of, like, as you're saying, just perhaps a total annihilation of that organization and that culture. So that's if you want to be that, you can't just be it in the good times. You got to be able to be it in the bad times as well, you know.
What did you think of that moment for Burnham?
I agree with her. I mean, that's always one of the things that I've been having twinges about watching this Star Trek. It isn't following the moral compass that I believe in. But I like the way that whether you agree with what Burnham's done from the very first episode to now, she always has a moral code. And she follows that moral code. And that moral code is what we expect a Starship captain, Star Trek captain, or staff person to encompass. But I think that the other lady, when she got captured by the Klingons, it freaked her out. And so that's why she was willing to blow everybody up, because she was like, y'all tortured me, so whatever.
Yeah. That's true. There could be an element of, you know, revenge there. It's like, you know what? I believe we all know the Klingon proverb that revenge is a dish best served cold.
That's true.
But
in the original, you know, Klingon, it's great.
It's much better than the original Klingon. Yes. But, of course, they wouldn't have been cold because she would have been blowing up volcanoes. So it would have been a dish served very, very hot.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe part of, and I see some people that are telling the storyline was kind of weak. Part of my frustration a little bit with that episode is that I think it'd be easier to, I feel like we're only hearing about the Federation's kind of feeling their backs against the wall because we jumped 9 months ahead from where they were last seen. So we see everything in tatters. So we don't really get to experience everything with them. So it's easy for us to say like, oh, you're totally wrong. Why are you thinking like this? We can't really get as invested in their point of view, like Cornwall's or even Sarek's to a lesser extent. So for them to feel like this, and it's easier to side with Burnham. You've been with her this whole journey. You've seen her kind of change from having one opinion at the beginning of the series to where she is now at the season finale. So it's easier to see where she's coming from. And it's probably, in this context, the better way to go. But I feel like they have a little bit more of a like, is this the right thing to do? If we would have been able to build up a little bit more of how the Federation was feeling from those 9 months, just like the total loss and devastation of everything that was happening, they kept on losing and losing and losing and just feeling backed up against the wall to where they have to do something that maybe they wouldn't normally ordinarily do, but they feel like they have no other choice.
Yeah, I think that that's true, but I also think that sort of by helping along this decision, sort of solving this problem, we see how the Federation from Star Trek Discovery becomes the Federation that we all are more accustomed to from the original series. Because if she didn't steer them back on that path, then it really wouldn't have added up. You know,
No, very true.
So,
but I felt like there's just a lot. I feel like I feel like with only two episodes left after they get back from the Mirror Universe, there was so much to get done, and I feel like, boy, everything got collapsed very quickly into two episodes.
I mean, and they did like a sort of a very quick, like, you know, sort of a full circle for Burnham. They made sure to do that, you know, sort of her career in Starfleet, her starting and ending the Klingon War. You know, they definitely, and that's what I was saying earlier, they really tidied up her character, you know? So we didn't need that much more of her, but I think she's been an interesting character. I don't think she's a fascinating character, but I would like to see more, I guess, because I'm going to.
No, so. It's true.
So there's always that.
Well, all right, say they decided like, hey, oh, we're going to do an anthology series now. Would you be sad never to see any more of these characters? Or would you be more excited about what would lie ahead?
I would be okay with it. I also feel like we would get, you know, a story from, like, you know, the timeline of the actual original series, and we would see Captain Tilly, you know, in this universe. We would actually – that's something that I feel like they would tell. Maybe they still will. But, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of, like, oh, I need to know. You know, I need to know where all this goes. Whereas, you know, a crew like The Next Generation, at the end of a season, you were like, oh, there's a million things I want to know. You know, how's Data's cat Spot doing? You know, I hope he's doing well. I kind of miss Spot, actually. And does Lore have a Spot as well? You know, like a mean version of Spot. These are questions that we'll be covering in the weeks ahead. Does Lore have a cat? I thought that there was, you know, we're talking about sort of the overall mom theme for Burnham in this episode. The moment where she tells Emperor Georgiou that she's going to have to kill Burnham, I wouldn't be so convinced that she wouldn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that Burnham should want to die that badly, because I'm like, this is a ruthless dictator, the emperor of the Terran emperor. Are you 100% sure she's not going to be like, oh, all I have to do is shoot you? And she's like, oh, and would be hunted by Starfleet. It's almost like she'd see that as a challenge. So I'm not surprised that she didn't shoot Burnham. I'm a little surprised that Burnham took that chance. that she was that important to her, you know? But I guess she's that full of herself. What do you think, Cherry?
But she's not killed her a couple of times when they're in the other universe.
That's true.
She, like, was like, oh, I'm going to kill you. I can't kill my baby. I can't. And really, and it was sort of funny, but she pretty much blamed Lorca for everything that she did anyway, like any mom would do. That wasn't my child's fault. It was their friends.
It was that man.
It was that man.
That man who came in and ruined their life.
Pretty much.
Oh, I feel like if Georgia had a super easy, if she could hit a button and be transported back into the mirror universe, I feel like she would have killed Burnham and just like, see you later, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And head back home. I don't think.
If on the other side of Burnham's corpse was a button that she could push. Yeah. Yep. I think you might be right. And then she would instantly die in the mirror universe, but that's kind of what she wants. I sort of liked the solution that Burnham came up with in terms of the detonator, and it was to have Laurel be in charge of it. And we see her, you know, addressing all the Klingon houses, and they're initially laughing at her. And she's like, okay, I mean, you guys can feel that way, but I am going to blow up all of your houses. And I don't mean the 24 houses. I mean, like, 24 million houses. I don't even know how many houses you'd have on Kronos. But, you know, that's my point, is she's going to blow up everything. So then it's like, oh, I guess we have to listen to you now. And again, that's a very Klingon approach, is, you know how we were supposed to all be unified for the great glory of the Klingon Empire? All right, well, how about instead we unify, because I'm going to blow up the planet if we don't. You know, sort of, instead of like the ideals, you know, and the Chosen One and T'Kuvma and all, no, it's just because if not, everything is going to get blown to shit. What do you think about watching the, you know, Laurel, who the last several episodes had just kind of been there in a cell, and we saw her be used as a punching bag. You know, sort of a very proud moment for her. What did you think about that, Cherry?
I was worried someone was going to stab her in the back while she was talking and kill her and just say, like, screw you, I got this. Because she didn't say, it's tied to me, and if you kill me, it'll go off or something. But I guess Klingons don't stab people in the back. I thought it was interesting. It wasn't what I would have expected, but her time on the ship, she sort of waffled between this is how Klingons do things to her more sensible, I want a certain end result and I will make compromises and I will do what's necessary, which is why she was a good choice to be the queen bee of the Klingons.
Yeah, and I feel like that storyline is not at an end. I think that is something that we're going to see more of. You know, I think we're going to get you don't want more Klingons? You don't want more Laurel?
Can't wait. What I want more is a second season of these Klingons. More than anything.
Well, I feel like we're going to get it. So let's see what they do.
I'm fine with them all just like going and getting their houses in order. Like, hey, let's just all kind of keep to ourselves and get
quietly.
Our...
quietly.
Yes.
Let's do this privately.
Yep.
Let's not share this with the Federation. Yeah. Let's close everything off to them. I don't know. I mean, I think that it was a very logical turn of events, and I don't know, it's sort of interesting to sort of read the history of the Klingon Empire at some point, you know, for the, you know, the time period from before this. Basically, I'd like to know about the Klingon Empire from Star Trek Enterprise until, probably until Next Generation, because there's still, like, it's still a leap from, say, even Star Trek VI that, oh, well, there's a Klingon on the Enterprise serving in uniform. You know, that's still a jump. You know, so I'd like to just see sort of I just want bullet points.
Yeah.
I don't need like 10 series about it. I don't need to read a whole book. I'm just kind of interested, you know. And so if they can start to tell an interesting story that you know, moves the Empire along, I'll be interested. But
what I would rather see is we don't see them at all season 2. They can come back in season 3, but they look like the Klingons that we know.
The Klingons from the original series.
Yep.
Yeah.
I never need to know why. I never even need to know.
I need to know. I need to know.
I'm fine with Worf saying we don't talk about that. And
no,
I'm
that was,
fine
I know.
With
that
it.
That was pretty good. Yep.
I'm fine with that. So come back season 3. Look great. And let's just move on.
we'll just move on. there was a nice goodbye between Tyler and Burnham. And he had a line that I jotted down. Your capacity to love literally saved my life. And that was something that sort of was touched on a few episodes ago. I thought that was a nice sort of farewell for Tyler and Burnham, in the sense of like, oh yeah, we're not going to really hang out anymore. But I think there's a 0% chance that we don't see Tyler very soon in season two. Cherry, you're nodding. For our listeners on iTunes, they did not hear you nodding. But people on YouTube know that you were yawning. Nodding, not yawning. Or yachting either, which it kind of sounded like. Yeah, give us your thoughts on that. He runs off with Laurel, but...
But he doesn't love her anymore. So what I was thinking, because I was agonizing what they're going to do with him, I think that we will see him in season two, maybe not at the very beginning. I think he'll be part of a delegation as between the Klingons and, of course, our humans. And what he's going to do is he's going to be like a little go-between, and hopefully he'll like be able to be on the ship and they can get back together again. After he's grown as a man, because she is not his mother and it's not her duty to help him deal with his issues.
Wow, I can't imagine them ever getting together after he tried to kill her. But, you know.
So many women do.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And he's really hot.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he more hot knowing that he's part Klingon?
I can forgive him.
Oh, okay. So that could take away.
I dated a Trump voter.
So is that the same thing as a Klingon?
It was horrible. But I really wanted a boyfriend, so I was like, you know, whatever.
So I'll eat for dinner, you know?
Yeah.
Which is also, cool. Which is not best served cold, by the way.
No.
He has to still be alive.
That's right.
Anyway, I thought it was sort of like interesting, and yeah, that was one of those goodbyes that was well written, in that it was like, goodbye, but I wish I could stay. Because usually goodbye, you don't usually kiss like that when you're saying goodbye forever. What do you think, Frank?
I was bummed that that Tyler left. As I spoke last week, it's like you could either kill him, or the more interesting choice is to see like how he tries to find his way going forward. And that's not to say that we won't see him in season two at some point, but I would have liked him more on the Discovery. He's still trying to figure out a way. I mean, the fact that he's going to take Giorgio is like one of the key deciding points. Like, you know, she says, you know, I don't belong in either world. Like, you're going to take this lady's opinion, and that's pretty much it. Like, all right, you know, this mirror universe doppelganger of Giorgio. Yeah, she's got a point. I'm just going to go off with the Klingons.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of advice that Cher gave us in the song Half Breed. So I don't really think that it's actually something that you have to really dwell on. We're going to talk about the big surprise ending in a moment. I like that we got to see Amanda again.
Yes.
Who is, for all intents and purposes, Burnham's mother. And there's issues that Frank and I have with that, because really we've never heard of her before. But you know, for the sake of the character, that's great. That was a good moment that she got to see her. And I thought that I liked the medal presentation ceremony. It was not as awesome as the Star Wars medal presentation ceremony, because I'm always going to compare the two, because there's a lot of talking. It was interesting. It was almost like putting on a school play. It was like, and you have this. We are the Federation. You know, it's like, was it a public service? I was like, I like that they had the medal ceremony, is what I'm trying to say. But the actual presentation of it, I'm like, what is this? Like,
I did not like the way that was cut together at all. Like, that they had to come back to Burnham, where she's like validating, yes, this is the Federation. Like, well, what? Who are you to be talking about this? Like,
yeah, no, you were in jail 6 months ago.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, all right. So now you're the arbiter of everything that the Federation stands for. Yeah. Great. That was an awkwardly cut sequence. I did not like the flow of that. I felt cutting back to her constantly just diminished it for me. I'm like, man, all right. And then those stamets, like just the cupping, the little metal for you. Just like,
yeah, that's literally the next thing I was going to mention.
It
was
so
like,
awkward.
Hey, remember him? Oh, poor Hugh. All
right. It was just, come on.
All right, so there are two big questions that we have as the episode winds down. The first is that they're going to go pick up their new captain. So they had to go to Vulcan to do it. And right away, I was just like, uh-oh. Because I'm like, what is this going to be? They can't possibly make Spock the captain of the Discovery. because he's supposed to be the first officer on the Enterprise, and then under the new management, James Kirk Enterprise, a few years after this. So I was just like, they couldn't possibly do that. But then I was like, who are they going to give us? You know, there's no Klingons. I mean, sorry, there's no Vulcans that we know that well that we would be like, oh my God, this is good. It's not going to be Sarek because he's already there. So I wasn't quite sure. And you know what? It could also be a bit of a MacGuffin because they could be going to Vulcan because that's where someone happens to be.
I think it's more that. Yeah. Better Vulcan.
But I feel like it's definitely going to be somebody that we know. You know, I don't know that it's going to be a new character. But I can't imagine who it would be. You know, it's not going to be somebody from the crew of the Enterprise, but could it be one of these other captains that we experienced, we crossed paths with? Cherry, do you have any thoughts on who or what type of person the new captain should be? Well, I ask, having read something you tweeted already.
Well, I think Saru should have been the captain. Gosh darn it!
Well, I think he earned it.
Yes, but, he earned it.
But he's not that kind of person. He's like, well, no, of course not me. Yeah. he's like, you know, I'd really like to be the. Oh no, that's okay. No.
You got a medal. That's
sure
enough.
You're right. I did. Yeah, that's right. And I didn't get eaten.
That's right.
Did not get eaten.
I mean, I don't know who will be the captain. I know it's not going to be a Vulcan, so that's the end of that. Maybe it's a human that's on the planet, or maybe another adopted human by the Vulcans. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's very confusing.
So Spock has a half-sister he never talked about, and there's also... Oh, it could be Cybok from Star
That's
Trek
right.
V. All yep. right, mystery solved.
Season 2, Cybok's fall from grace.
It's going to be great. Woo, because you know what I was thinking after Star Trek V? I need more Cybok.
That's right, see?
I need a lot more Cybok.
You didn't even know that, and yeah. Now you do. I feel like the writers put themselves in the perfect corner. It's like, hey, we're picking up our new captain on Vulcan. That's all we're going to say. We get plenty of time to figure out which actor we can get, how big of a name we can get.
Yeah.
You know, do we want to make him a Vulcan? Do we want to make him or her an alien? You know, they've left themselves plenty of wiggle room to figure out who and what type of captain they want to get. So.
Yeah, I think that it was good that they didn't introduce them. But I was expecting we were going to see who it was. It was going to be the last second of the episode. But then, of course, they throw us for a loop. They're like, oh, no, we're not going to get there yet. And, you know, for those of us who have spent decades of our life sort of thinking about Star Trek and watching Star Trek, there is a moment where we knew it was the Enterprise before we saw the Enterprise. And Frank, I'm sure you're right there with me. And Cherry, you don't have to be there with us. Not saying you couldn't be. But when it starts to do the slow reveal,
yep.
It's NCC 17. Yeah. Oh, no. Do you think it's 1706? 1733? No, wait a minute. I know what ship that is. Yeah. And somebody in the chat mentioned that, you know, seeing the Enterprise show up, having it next to the Discovery, just kind of reminded them how beautiful the Enterprise is. And it's true, it did look really cool. But I was just like, I think I'm excited, but oh no. I'm kind of excited, but at the same time, I'm like, they have to do it well. We have to see Captain Pike. It has to be well done. And I don't know, it raised some questions for me, but before we dive into any of that, I'll go first with you, Frank. So as that scene's unfolding,
yes.
Does it take the NCC 17 for you to go like, oh, it's the Enterprise? Or when like a ship's hailing, you're like, the Enterprise.
A ship's hailing us. I wasn't quite there. As soon as I saw the N,
yeah.
I was like, all right, it's
good. Okay, so see, I needed the one.
Yes.
The 7. So, yeah.
I figure there's no reason to put a shot like that where it's going to be kind of like in suspense. Like,
yeah. But, by the way, when they had the sort of the, you know, the exposition of, well, they figure we should just warp on over there instead of using the spore drive. Okay. I'm like, okay, so something's going to happen because yeah. there's no reason yeah. to take just regular warp when you can get there like that.
Yes.
Unless you have a story point that's going to happen along the way.
But I did like that where it's like, Stamets is like, yeah, they want to get rid of the human pilots there. So until then, I'm happy to take the long way around. It's like, but we just spent another episode before this just growing a whole new planet.
Yeah.
Of fuel of sorts. But all right, cool. That's fine.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm on my union break. What do you want? You know, you don't want to go into golden time. Cherry, what did you think about the way the episode ended?
I've been trying to figure out where they are in the timeline, and if they have that ship, depending on how old the Captain Pike is, maybe it, I always assumed it was like maybe 50 to 100 years between, but now it looks like it's like 5 or 10 years.
Which is that? The 5 or 10 years?
Between Star Trek and then this show.
Right. So this show, and I forget where we got that number from, is supposedly 10 years after the Cage pilot. Is that something?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently Captain Pike still tooling around on the Enterprise for a while. I don't quite know exactly what happened between the Cage and the Menagerie. I mean, the Menagerie tells us a little of that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that they were flying around for 10-plus years, you know? So we're 10 years before the original series with Kirk, but we're 10 years after. I don't know. I'm confused now. I knew it when I started. When I started talking, I thought I knew where we were. Somebody in the chat, help us. Where is our friend Mark Hunt when we need him?
That's right. He'll be after on us tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be able to read it for next week.
Fact-checking as always.
Yeah, but
I guess the biggest thing, too, is like, I guess maybe this is a way to get the fans kind of, we've seen a whole season of Discovery and they're looking at the aesthetic of this time period, where if you just want fans to just kind of be able to, as much as old-time Star Trek fans, set aside the expectations of seeing that look of the original series brought to life now, that you're going to see a ship where probably the interior is going to be very similar to what it looks like on Discovery. And I think the viewers are just going to have to say, like, this is now just a look, and we're just going to have to just not worry about trying to compare.
But, Frank, I think we talked about this, I think it was last week. Tell me we're going to get the brown turtlenecks.
I want that.
The brown turtlenecks.
That would, please. All that right. Would, if I can get, I will change all you want about the interiors of the ship. Give me the brown turtlenecks.
And the micro mini skirts.
And I want,
that was a given. Yeah.
I want Spock's hair to be a little bit more shabby, with the eyebrows That's not true. Quite on point. Yes. Give me that stuff.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be a cop-out if it's like, oh, no, Spock's off doing something. But anyway, the rest of us are here.
Yeah.
You know, that would just be like, oh, man.
I think it's just a matter of days. We're waiting to see Zachary Quinto, if he gets the nod.
Oh, to actually... I can't imagine. I think he'd be too old. We would need it. Although, Spock is so old to begin with. What were you going to say, Cherry?
Someone said on the chat, which is what I agree, it has to be a woman captain.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it has to be, but it'd be great if it was.
We were promised a woman captain and her second in command.
The Klingons ate her. So, you know, that's not our fault that there was a woman captain when the show started. That's Burnham's fault. So it's 22, Clark Stark, it's 2256 for Discovery, about 3 years after the Cage. He needs to verify that, though. All right. And so 3 years after the Cage, 10 years before the original series.
Yeah.
This is a long time for Captain Pike and company to still, but.
Because, man, that's like, 10 years, like, I didn't realize that. That's a long time for Spock just to be like, and that's kind of like that same kind of status quo for them on the Enterprise, kind of tooling around doing their thing.
And you think of how long Spock was a first officer, by the way.
Yeah.
Long time.
So, but anyway, Wellington Smith says the micro miniskirt's not okay with me. You know, I really liked you until right now, Wellington Smith. Come on. Even Dax and the crew of the DS9 talked about how much fun the outfits were. And, you know, when there was the trouble. What was that one called? That wasn't the Tribble episode on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah. Tribbles. It is Trials and Tribulations.
That's it. Trials and Tribulations. Anyway, we can talk about that in the future. But anyway, ask some good questions. It is definitely an exciting, like, kind of fun, like, oh, I really do want to see the crew. You know, obviously it's the crew from the Cage, not our crew. And also, yeah, who is the new captain? So there's a couple things that I do want answered. But again, we're going to have a whole new series, a new season with all of these characters again, which I don't know that I needed, but we'll see how long they hang out with the Enterprise. If they hang out with the Enterprise for a while, that could be fun.
Yeah, I'd like to see more with number one. That would be cool. Pike's number one. So
yeah,
be
Pike's
really cool.
Number one. Yeah. Well, I think it's a fun ending, but we will have to see how it goes. Sort of overall thoughts on that ending, though. I think I think we're all in agreement. It's interesting, but I don't know. I don't know that we needed it, but I think they know how to give Star Trek fans something that they want. It's like, so you want You want Spock? Okay, maybe we'll give you Spock. Oh, how about the Enterprise? Do you want the whole Enterprise with Spock? So, I don't know. But keep letting us know in the chat what you think. For those watching live, you can continue chatting. But more for those of you that are, you know, watching the archive, leave a message in the YouTube chat. And you can like and comment down below. All the stuff Carrie always does that better than me. But somewhere, you know, down below below us, you can do that. But we are not – Teresa Stewart says boring ending. And Diggs Briarthon says he or she thinks it will not be the crew from the cage. There might be some changes, but I think if you're going to do it, you give us the crew from the cage, right?
Yeah,
I don't quite know. Yes, Cherry, really. Final thought before we...
My final thought, which I said before, them going from plotline to plotline is why I think a lot of people weren't able to get to know and really connect with the various characters. And hopefully in the second season, they'll be more focused and they won't sort of jump from item to item and then just all of a sudden, like, say, I'm sick of this storyline, they died. Or we jumped ahead 9 months. That's not... For me, that was not happy.
Well, I'm on the whole, I'm fairly happy with how the season went. And next week, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the season one of Star Trek Discovery as a whole. We're going to talk about favorite episodes, favorite moments. But we can also really harp on the stuff we didn't like.
Oh.
I know I'm going to have to reread some of the episode descriptions and maybe even rewatch one or two of them. We're going to dive into that. So please let us know if you're watching in the chat, if you're watching the archived YouTube version. Let us know your thoughts. What are your favorite moments from season one of Star Trek Discovery? But also, just as important, if not more important, your least favorite moments. What did you really not like? And we will read some of those. And we will get to those next week. And Cherry, thanks for being here with us.
Yeah,
where can people find you?
You can find me, Cherry_LA, on Twitter and Instagram.
And Frank Moran, where can people find you?
Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
And I'm Christian Blatt at ChristianDMZ, so you can find me there. And we will see you next Sunday at 10 Pacific. Until then, live long and prosper.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.